Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Tom, the day has arrived. The week has arrived. We are up to episode 69 of We Are The Watchers.
Dinner for two.
And I said last week, or, you know, an hour ago, if you're listening to these two episodes back to back, I said, I'm not going to remember.
But you did.
And I did. I'm very proud of myself.
It's a big one.
We're getting very close to 100 now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're closer than we were when we're nowhere near there, but...
We will be.
31 episodes to go. That's still going to make us next year. No, sometime this year. I forgot what time of... We're in March.
Yeah.
You also weren't sure which month we were up to.
I knew where we were, but I just didn't know where that would put us.
Yeah.
I think, we'll be sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be a 2019 thing, I'm sure. I've watched quite a few things. I'll try and get to all of them, but we'll see.
See how you go.
We will, as we always do, pop the walkers, the Walking Dead talk at the behind the spoiler section, so that if you haven't caught up with the episode, you can just stop it there and listen back later.
Yeah, up to you.
We'll throw some news in, a quiz. I've got a quiz for you.
Good. Is it a good one?
Yeah, I like this one. It's one that I know you're going to get easily, but it's kind of fun to talk about it.
Sure.
Yeah. And some newsy stuff as well. I know you've got some news.
A few bits of news, yeah.
I'll kick it off. I've got a couple of gaming stories as well. This one we were talking about recently. Now, do you remember Alfonso Ribeiro? Ribeiro is how you pronounce his name, a.k.a. Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was trying to sue Epic Games, who own Fortnite, the game Fortnite,
yes,
for having the Carlton dance as a paid microtransaction so you can dance to other players. The dance I'm doing for you right now is nothing like the Carlton.
No, it's
I'm
not.
Well aware.
It's more really
like,
not.
It's more like something a grandmother would do. But he has dropped the lawsuit. Very important that we understand that he's dropped lawsuits before. Other games, Take-Two Interactive for having the Carlton in the game NBA 2K2016. He dropped that suit. I thought there was another one, but I can't see it at the moment. But his lawyers filed the docs in LA federal court saying he's voluntarily dismissing the suit. There was no reason for doing it, but I would imagine it's because it's hard to copyright a very small dance, a very small choreographed amount of moves a body makes.
Sure.
I assume.
I also think there'd be some issue around he doesn't own the character of Carlton.
No, he doesn't.
They're not using his likeness. They're only using...
The dance move.
Yeah. I don't think you can trademark that. Did Michael Jackson trademark the moonwalk?
I'm sure you've seen moonwalks elsewhere.
Yeah.
People moonwalk all the time. Is there a... I haven't played Fortnite for a while, but if you do know if there is a moonwalk dance happening in there, let us know.
Ask your children.
Yeah, that's right. Ask your 10-year-old and then tell them immediately to get off Fortnite. I think this is going to be good for games and Epic, of course, because now people are going to throw in more dances in all games for microtransactions because they're like,
It's either that or he settled out of court, maybe.
Yeah, he
maybe
could have. That's true.
Got some money.
He got paid.
If he's done this before and dropped it before, maybe it's the kind of the way to get paid.
Is what he does. Yeah, that's true. What story have you found interesting?
One that made me go,
Okay.
So you know that they're doing all those revivals of shows.
Are they what?
Yeah. Apparently Mad About You coming back.
I heard about that.
With Paul Reiser.
Yep.
And
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt, who I don't think either have been particularly busy.
No, the last thing I can think of that Paul Reiser was in was the second season of Stranger Things. He was a doctor in that. Am I right in thinking, if I've got the history correct, Mad About You, those two were getting paid quite a lot of money per episode.
Yes.
I don't know if it was as much as Friends, but quite a lot, which is strange because when you think about Friends, it's always on. It's always on television. People still talk about it. They still refer to it. Mad About You is kind of one of those shows now that you look back and think, oh, yeah, that's right. I watched a bit of that. Can't really remember what it was about, though.
I think maybe it was a bigger deal with Friends because it was a full ensemble and they were all getting paid a lot, whereas Mad About You was just about those two, and there were plenty of shows that were just like it.
There were a lot. It's that early 90s sitcom. So is it coming back?
That's what I'm hearing, that they are working with those two to bring it back. Everyone was clamoring for it, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No.
But it's a thing. Yeah.
It's strange because things like Roseanne and Beverly Hills 90210, where that's coming back as well this will be the second time, even though the first revamp was actually not with original characters.
Reboot,
yeah. There's real nostalgia behind shows like Roseanne and 90210 and Friends if they ever do that. But, yeah, like you said, no. Do people talk about Mad About You anymore? I guess they will now.
I don't know. There's so many high-concept shows from back in the day that would be amazing to bring back with today's tech. We've talked at length before about how Quantum Leap would be amazing to do.
That would be good.
With today's stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine Alf or...
Yeah.
Imagine dinosaurs. Do you remember with the...
I remember.
Puppet?
Not the mama.
Yeah. That with today's tech would look pretty good.
Kids would love that.
Yeah.
I used to watch it.
Maybe try a bit harder than just bringing back the multicam comedy.
Do you feel that it was mainly Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt pushing this?
Yeah. They're just looking at how well Roseanne and the shows
Will
that
and
have
Grace.
Come back
have
done.
Yeah.
Like, let's pull through the back catalogue.
We'll give it a go.
Yeah.
We'll have another burl.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
This is a story not necessarily about a show coming back. Well, it sort of is and sort of isn't. So Sharp Objects was a limited series last year, had Amy Adams in it. It was great. I watched it. Anyway, the showrunner, Marty Noxon, said that she and the author, Gillian Flynn, have had some thoughts on how to continue the story. It felt like it finished, or it felt like it. The story, I don't feel like I need any more of the story. It was a nice ending. Even though she sounds keen, she thinks a second season would be logistically super tough to pull off, basically because of the people who are involved.
Of course.
Trying to get them all to come back. She said it's pretty hard to get that A-team to reassemble. Mm-hmm. She went on to say it's not hard to imagine from a story standpoint because they would like to explore Amy Adams' character more, but it would be a very long shot in terms of technically and logistically.
Yeah, of course. Trying to get everyone back together for any show is very difficult.
That's true. Unless you're Helen Hunt and Paul Rice.
Yeah.
What else have you found?
So there's a bit of chatter happening around Suicide Squad 2. Continues to be a difficult thing to say. Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah. No Will Smith?
So, yes, Will Smith is too busy. We'd mentioned that.
Mm.
Idris Elba has been tapped to replace him.
Ah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's Idris
fans.
Alarm. so he's going to be stepping into the role of Deadshot. I've heard some rumours saying that Harley Quinn's back, so Margot Robbie would be in. I've heard some saying she's not in.
Mm.
But more importantly, they talked about some of the other characters that are likely to feature, and a bunch of them are going to die so quick.
You reckon?
Oh, there's so many no-name characters. There's one called Ratcatcher.
Okay.
Who's a shitty Batman villain, lives in the series.
Sounds amazing.
Puts
almost
like brain control things inside rats and it can make them take bombs. And
it could cross universes with Ninja Turtles.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. There's that. But the one that's got me super stoked is King Shark. And it's interesting that King Shark will be mentioned because I'm going to be talking about Flash later when we talk about what we watched. King Shark featured this week.
Mm.
But they're going to... James Gunn handling King Shark, who in the comics his catchphrase is, "I'm a shark, I'm a shark, I'm a goddamn man shark." I'm so excited for this. So I think there's going to be a killer soundtrack again. It depends on when it's going to be set, but they're The first Suicide Squad film was very influenced by recent runs, you know, very much of the last 10, 15 years.
So you reckon if they set it further back?
Well, the team lineup that it looks like they're putting together is very much from a run in the 80s.
Okay.
So if they do an 80s style.
Imagine the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So he's done late 70s, early 80s inspirational pump-up music for Guardians,
yes.
But what about music for the bad guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't think I'd say it, but I'm excited for Suicide Squad 2. That is very mm-hmm. difficult to say. Mm-hmm.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Elizabeth Moss has been at South by Southwest along with a lot of other people over the last week and she was promoting her music drama Her Smell, where she plays a punk rock musician struggling with sobriety. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is because during between scenes of the last Handmaid's Tale filming, she was playing the guitar because she was practicing and learning how to play the guitar for this.
Sure.
In case you'd heard that little anecdote that she had a guitar the whole time, that's why. But also, she was there to talk about Us, the movie Us.
Yes.
Very exciting. So she was at a Q&A and was asked a Handmaid's-related question, I should say. And the question was, Trump's America versus Gilead, how close are they? And she said, I hope it's a long walk. There are other countries that are a lot closer. And those are the countries that Gilead are sort of more inspired by.
Sure.
Than America. She said that she's talked to Margaret Atwood about it before. And Margaret Atwood sort of says the same thing. I based it off a whole heap of countries that have had issues over the years. Mm-hmm. And I remember her talking about Iran in the, was it the 70s, where they had the big revolution? And that's more what it's based on, not necessarily America. It's just that it's happened to come out in television form at this point in time.
Yeah, happenstance.
Yeah, I know, right? So we will get the 13 episodes of Handmaid's Season 3 on the 5th of June this year. So it's coming up soon.
Not long.
Yeah, exciting.
And Us was received very well.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Not long now, a couple of weeks. It's going to be scary.
It's going to be so scary.
So scary. So some news that bummed me out a little bit.
Oh, what?
I can see why. So Arrow have announced that they are ending with a shortened 8th season. It's going to be 10 episodes. I'm disappointed that it's ending, but I completely understand why. That guy has been playing the role for 7 years
now. It's a long time.
He's got to be one of the most jacked dudes on TV for it.
Yeah.
And working hard. And he works nonstop around. He's running a winery and all this stuff.
Oh, really?
It was very interesting how they announced any show that's wrapping up would go through the press and go through your Deadline or your Variety or various things like that. He just announced it on social. He's he's got a huge following on Facebook, and using Facebook Live, he jumped on there and he was like, look, you're probably going to be hearing about this.
Mm.
And he put it out there at the same time his press releases went out. Like, it was all.
It's kind of a nice way.
It was a really cool way of saying, look, this was partly my call. I had wanted, you know, I thought we should wrap up. His intention, this is something I thought would have been very cool, was that he wanted Arrow to live on past him, so someone else to take over not just the costume, but the role on the show.
Yeah.
Pass it on to the next generation. And it is confusing a bit because all these DC shows are part of what's called the Arrowverse. Mm. So if Arrow's gone, is it being called that or what?
Yeah, what do we call it?
But then I put on my thinking hat.
Uh-oh, have you had a revelation?
Well, yes, because 10 episodes should mean that it syncs up with the big crossover episode that will happen at the end of the year. Now, last year's big crossover episode, there was someone who was potentially going to destroy the Earth, and Arrow made a secret deal with this person about something that will happen in the future, promised that it will happen, and nothing's been said of it since then. So I think they've known that that the show's going to wrap, and they've seeded things so that in DC comic storylines, anytime the word crisis is involved, crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, there's so many of them, a big character has to die. It's normally a Flash.
Right.
But I think they're going to switch it up. And I think Arrow will die in order to save everyone. The
That's
guy that
full on.
Started the universe will end the universe. And then it will be retooled in such a way so that Batwoman, who at the moment is in a different universe, will be folded in the same way that they can fold in Supergirl properly rather than just having crossovers. So I think there's some long-term
which
shifting.
Is great that they, if what you're saying is true, it kind of sounds logical that they've had time to not only process the news that he wants out, but to then long term seg and weave everything back in, so yes. that when he goes, it's still super exciting.
Exactly, and it will, as I say, his character birthed that universe. By taking him out, they need to kind of curtail or close that chapter in such a big way. And I think something to do with him ultimate sacrificing. So many of these characters you want to see ride off into the sunset and be happy, and that's not the trajectory for
him. It's not going to happen.
No.
But we'll make it memorable if that's not how it happens.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool that they get to... Look, it's like when Lost declared 3 years out when they were going to end.
Mm.
Knowing that they were working to an end date... gave things a lot more importance, and you knew it was leading to something rather than just spinning the wheels to keep making more shows.
Mm.
And Arrow can definitely be accused of spinning its wheels from time to time, so putting this full stop on things will make things more important.
We know how excited everybody is with the full stop that is Game of Thrones this year. That's just...
Funny you should mention that.
Mm.
That was the big trailer this week.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes if I watch a trailer, I watch it like 3 times in a row. But this one, I'd watched it a couple of times and I watched it with someone else and I saw it on television and I've gotten it all around. There was a lot going on, but you know that what they showed would have been very carefully edited.
Yes.
But people have been talking about... So do you remember Samwell, or Sam, has a sword that was his family sword?
Yes, that is Valyrian steel, is it not?
It is. Somebody else in the trailer had it during what looked like a battle.
Okay.
Then the theories go out. Then the fans just go crazy. But all I'm saying is just go and have another look at it. I think there's an explanation. I don't necessarily think it bodes well. I don't think Sam's fate is based on who has the sword.
Oh, no. And he'd happily hand that over for someone else to go and battle.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there has been a scene, I can't even remember which. No, it must have been last season. He's had a conversation with someone that I think ties in with who's holding the sword, and I think that's why.
Okay.
So it's not, I think that's why they've put it in there. I don't think it's a mistake. Got to have little bits and pieces. But I like the Cersei smirk.
Yes.
That was my highlight.
I enjoyed the Sansa look.
I like the Arya saying that she's looking forward to meeting these dead. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that. And I've got some Game of Thrones ties in a little bit later on with what I've been watching. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Now, this is something that was not on my radar at all, and we spoke just before we were recording, and you're like, yeah, no, I've been sort of checking in with this game every now and then, but there's a World War Z game coming out in April, mid-April, I think, and I had no idea it was happening.
It looks very swarmy.
Very swarmy. They're using the Swarm engine, so that's why it's swarmy, and it's a 4-person co-op. It looks like, from what I've watched and read, there's going to be different sorts of horde swarm that you do.
Yep.
And there may even be PvP, so player versus player, or teams versus zombies at the same time. It sounds stressful, but if you can get a few friends together to play this game, I reckon you would have a lot of fun.
Mm.
They run fast. It's like it's the hordes in the movie. That's
swarming
how fast they are.
Yeah,
they're
stuff.
Going up the walls, and you got a lot of bullets, is what it looks like.
Okay.
But I suspect there's going to be different game types or parts of maps or levels, whatever you want to call them, where potentially you may only have a handgun and you'd be in very small, confined areas. That's going to be stressful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fun. But, yeah, that's coming out in a couple of weeks, so keep an eye out if you're into that kind of stuff.
We'll be into that.
Yes. Any other news?
No, you've had enough.
Fantastic. Can I ask you what you've been watching?
You can. I've watched a couple of things. I'll talk about first what I mentioned earlier, Flash. So bit of Arrow, of course, wrapping up. Flash has been off for a couple of weeks and they came back strong this week.
You knew they would.
Well, they generally do after a bit of a break.
Mm.
bit of a break means they can have a little more CGI budget. So this week, something that fans have been hoping for years, the two big CGI characters they use on the show.
Hmm.
One is King Shark, who I mentioned earlier, giant humanoid, or man who was turned into a shark.
It happens sometimes.
It does. It does. The other one is Gorilla Grodd, who is a 9 foot tall, I want to say, psychic ape.
I love everything about that sentence.
Yeah. He was in the particle accelerator, like underneath, when it went off and gave everyone powers, and it taught him to talk with the mind. And over the seasons, he has grown and grown in power. To one point, he's like off in a jungle leading a bunch of other gorillas. Mm. This week, they finally did Gorilla Grodd versus King Shark. Had the two of them, and like humanized the shark.
In what way? Personality wise or movement wise?
Well, they found a cure and they were able to turn him back.
Ah.
But he couldn't let his emotion take over or it would revert him and not come back again.
Oh, wow.
And in order to save Flash, he sharks out again, meaning he can never go back to save the city.
So that's it.
Yep. Because they built this headpiece thing for King Shark so he could more easily communicate. As the longer he stayed a shark, the more his brain went shark-like.
I see.
So they were trying to help him revert back. The gorilla stole this thing and it meant that his psychic powers could now take over the city.
Uh-oh.
So he was trying to take over.
But out of control.
Shark guy, when he got angry, because he had a shark brain, wasn't affecting him. So a giant shark man beat up a telepathic gorilla in order to save the Flash and the rest of the city. It's a really weird show.
It was amazing, though. You enjoyed it?
It was great fun.
It sounds hilariously fun.
It was properly bonkers.
In the best way possible.
Yep.
Flash. See, they know how to go. They know how to come back after a break.
Yeah, them and, look, Legends of Tomorrow comes back April 1st, I think, somewhere around there.
I hate it when things are either organised or set for April 1st because I'm never quite sure if it's actually going to happen or not.
April 1, bad. April 20, good. That's how I remember things.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow is back April 1st, and I'm stoked for that because that's the most bonkers show on television. They do some very weird things.
We know what you're doing on the 1st of April.
Yeah.
I started watching on SBS On Demand. It's a Canadian show. It's been around. It's got three series, and you can watch all of them. You can binge them, called Cardinal. And the reason I mention this is because I know there's quite a few of our listeners who are really into those sort of detective crime series.
Yeah.
And this is what this is. It's a detective crime series, and it's about, there are undercurrents that I won't give away because it's kind of cool when they throw them at you. But in the beginning of the first episode, you know that there's a cop. He's obviously got problems because that's what all cops have, right? Those detectives. Clearly. Otherwise, why is there a show about them? And he's trying to solve murders that have been happening and that are still happening and that will happen.
Ooh.
So there's a time. They have to try and find the killer before the killer keeps killing people.
Mm.
Sounds
like 24.
Yeah, but it is like 24, and it's kind of like those sort of Scandinavian crime novels and TV shows as well, because it's set in Canada, it's winter, things get hidden under the snow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all that sort of stuff. And the fact that you've got all three series, I should say, sitting there ready for you to watch for free, I would say go do it.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of genre. I think, if I recall correctly, there's maybe six to eight episodes a season. So it's not much. No, you get through them pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. So go ahead, watch it, dare you to.
It's dead.
Not physical challenged yet, though, so it's okay.
Not that at all.
What else have you watched?
I watched something that I thought I was going to be saying watch, but I don't know if I'm going to.
Oh, no, really?
So I finally got around to checking out Whiskey Cavalier, which is...
Yeah, I mean, this is exciting. It's been talked about for probably, well, in our circle, about a year or so.
Yeah.
Do you know how I knew the day it came out? Suddenly my Instagram feed had a lot of her.
Sure. Look, she's fine in it. The whole thing is fine. And...
Mm.
I don't... it's a tonal mismatch. It's
in what way?
Well, like, it's wanting to be a serious action spy type thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like a romantic comedy going on. of her having a meet cute with another spy.
It's Lauren Cohen and
Scott
the
Foley.
Guy from Felicity.
Yes. And the two of them are both spies, he for the FBI and she for the CIA.
That's right.
And then they butt heads during a mission. They're not working together, but they intercept each other. And then it's like a romantic meet
cute. Like moonlighting?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Okay. That's a shame. Because you were really hyped about that.
I was really hyped. I don't know about the joke delivery.
Okay.
It stands out. And it's, I don't know. I should be enjoying it for the same reason I enjoy Lethal Weapon, of just cheesy fun and stuff like this. But I don't know. Maybe it needs a few more episodes to get the tone. I can see why they're backing it. It's got a lot of promise. But
Storyline-wise... Yeah. It looked okay. I thought maybe that was some of the promise was, that it was leading towards something that was interesting.
Oh, look, it's got an interesting cast of characters.
Okay,
those two, they're both great actors. They both seem to be enjoying it. I've not really seen either of them do too much comedy before.
I've only seen her in Walking Dead as Maggie, and she doesn't have much reason to laugh.
Well, she has a different American accent. That's
yes, it wouldn't
still,
be Southern, would
no,
it?
It's
yeah,
still a little bit. Yeah, how you going? but it's got, and I've forgotten his name, the kid from Everyone Hates Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Who was also on Walking
Dead.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He had the unfortunate moment in the revolving door.
He is the reason why I don't use revolving doors anymore.
Mm-hmm. I remember you saying that.
So
yeah.
He is on the show with a little porn star moustache as like an Edward Snowden type whistleblower character.
Oh, okay. You enjoy him?
Yeah, he's fast-talking, panicky guy.
You'd be able to deliver the jokes better,
yes.
I feel. I mean, not knowing too much about the other two's comedy style, just I know that he can bring the yucks.
He's basically Joe Pesci in Little Weapon.
Yeah, right.
He's the comedic relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he refuses to go through revolving doors, just in case.
So, as I say, the show's definitely got some potential. I've got enough on the cards at the moment that I'm not going to stick around and check it out. But if listeners do and want to let us know, please...
The Watchers Podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, if I need to get back onto it, I will, but...
You'll do that in due course.
Yeah.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched, I think I've got two episodes left, or maybe one, of Ricky Gervais's Afterlife on Netflix. Came out last week, I think.
Right.
Got around to watching it. And... I also saw that there were articles and reviews of people sort of saying, oh, it's a real downer. And I think because Ricky has been attached to it, they thought it was just going to be hilarious the whole time. But if you read one sentence of the synopsis, you know immediately it's going to be some serious, sad tones. He's a widower whose wife had died earlier that year. They'd been together for 25 years. She died of cancer. He's still in the depths of grief and depression because of that. And it's just him going day to day. He basically is like, stuff it. I'm just going to say and do whatever I want because I don't care anymore. There are funny moments in it. There are sad moments in it. There are warm moments in it. I really like it because it's got that mix.
Sure.
And it's got a lot of people in it, a lot of people that are from Ricky Gervais kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There are even some characters that you're like, this character is sort of based off a couple of people in The Office. Diane Morgan's in it. You've got...
Wait, from Philomena Kunk?
Yes.
Wait, you buried the lead there. Lead with that.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Some people from Westeros who are no longer alive, so don't have to be in Game of Thrones. You've got Tony Way, who was, what's his character's name?
Not Ponce.
Doris? Doris.
Sir Ponce is the cat. But yes.
Yeah, the guy.
The drunk guy.
Yeah, the one that was supposed to help Sansa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. You'll know his face as soon as...
Oh, I know him. I've seen him in a lot of things.
David Bradley's in it.
Cool.
Walder Frey.
Yep.
He got... He ate a pie at the end of... Was it last season or the season before? And then he got Arya'd, so...
Yeah, first episode of the season.
So he's not there anymore. There's a couple of other... There's at least one other person from Game of Thrones in it, but you've got Ashley Jensen, if you remember. She's
from
Extras. Yeah, she's in it. And I just really like the whole everything about this show.
Awesome.
Don't go into it expecting to be laughing and having inappropriate jokes the whole time. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of swearing, but there's also very sad bits because it's a show about people grieving.
Yeah, you can't be positive about all of that.
You can't be. Yeah, definitely watch it. There's only 6 episodes. I'll be sad when I finish.
I will definitely take that recommendation. Mm,
yeah. Definitely good. Anything else you watched?
There's one other thing that I'll talk about, and it was so good. I saw it twice.
Oh!
Yeah.
What was it?
Captain Marvel.
Yes, and everybody is raving about this. Box office numbers are... let's not say the number because it's going to change by the time people listen, by the time this comes out. But it is going gangbusters.
It's the second biggest superhero origin movie ever.
I'm so happy about this.
Behind Black Panther. And it's the 6th biggest opening of all time.
That's
of
huge.
All movies.
This is a brand new character. I mean, for us.
Yeah.
For moviegoers. This is a brand new character. This is phenomenal. And I just like the fact that there were... Remember, was it Rotten Tomatoes a week or two ago where guys were just trying desperately to internet troll and give bad reviews and people have ignored.
It's great to see that these angry people, when they bandy together and do the petitions and stuff, that they really can achieve absolutely nothing.
Good.
It's a so
feel-good story. In fact, I hope that it made people, hearing about that, it made people go and see it.
Yeah.
Who potentially would have waited.
Well, I saw it Sunday afternoon with Shay and Linz, and both loved it. Shay was enraptured.
Was Shay a big Wonder Woman fan?
No, not huge. Like, she wasn't interested in the movie. The movie she was just slightly too young for.
Okay. Because I know she's in kindergarten, so maybe 6-year-old, who Wonder Woman is her life. So I wonder how Captain Marvel will be for her.
Well, Shay is way more into Spider-Gwen.
Uh-huh.
And Supergirl. And she likes Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, and she's kind of more into the villains and stuff. But she just sat there loving it. There's one, I'm not going to spoil anything. It's a massive film. People are going to see it. But there's one montage, one pump-up moment that messes with you emotionally. And being able to turn and see my 6-year-old daughter, like...
Just in awe.
A woman having a proper hero moment.
Yeah.
With, you know... in this,
you're giving me... Like, I've got tingles
the,
up
the,
my spine.
The men in this film are the damsels in distress. It's proper girl power.
And... Which viewing did you get more out of? Did you enjoy the first one or the second one more? Or were they just completely different?
They were different viewings for me because the first one was the 6-year-old who needed to go to the toilet and wanted to share popcorn and had lots of questions. And the second one was with 2 mates who don't talk.
Cool.
So I got to take in more.
Mm.
Yeah. But, if you somehow don't know anything about this film, go in like that. There's some intentionally confusing parts that will you need to sort of put together and solve.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of twists in the film.
Oh, I like twists.
Yeah.
Big twist fan.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, I didn't go and see a movie this week, but I went and watched at home, A Quiet Place. I finally got around to watching it. Now, you were talking about this ages ago, and then, you know, there was talk during the award season as it was getting nominated for stuff. Watch it. It's such a good movie. It's a movie that demands your attention so much that you don't even feel that involuntary movement to pick up the phone.
You won't look away.
It's amazing. It's so good. I mean, you spoke about it way more eloquently than I will. I just wanted to rehash that if you haven't gotten around to watching it, but you heard about it a lot, it's one to watch.
Make sure you can watch it with some volume. If you can watch it with good headphones, do that. But just it needs the sound up because, as you say, it's so enrapturing. Like you can't look away.
You can't look away.
It just envelops you and...
There's just so many parts where you just think, oh, humans would not survive because of this or this.
Yep.
Amazing. Really good. Is that everything we've got to talk about, watch-wise?
Today. Yes.
Fantastic. Let's get into a quiz then. This one's a bit of fun. Like I said earlier on, it's an easier one.
Okay.
It's called Name the Actors Who Played the Same Character.
Ooh.
So we'll start off super easy and we'll probably maintain the easiness throughout the whole thing.
We'll see how we go.
Spock from Star Trek.
Leonard Nimoy
mm-hmm.
and Zachary Quinto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you do know of any others, you can throw them at me.
There might be someone coming in on Discovery.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's playing Spock or Spock's father. Might be Spock's father.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Star Trek aficionado. What about Sarah Connor from Terminator? There was one. I'll give you a clue. There are three, and
Hamilton.
I did not know one of them. Linda Hamilton, yes.
Is one of them.
They're all actresses you know.
I want to say Emilia Clarke.
Yep, Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. There's
another
one.
This means that we're talking about four, which is Salvation, and it's going to be a small role because they're only going back to that time period for a very short.
Do you need a clue? Because I've got one.
Yes.
Smirk.
Kim Cattrall.
No. No, Cersei.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
I did not.
Oh, and the TV show.
Did not even realise.
The Terminator Chronicles, of course.
Now, was the Chronicles, I think the Chronicles is where you would find Shirley Manson from Garbage.
Yes.
Yes.
Chronicles, some of that was pretty good. Thomas Dekker, I think, was John Connor.
All right. What about Willy Wonka?
Gene Wilder, who you know I'm not a fan of.
And the other person you're not a
Johnny
fan of.
Depp, I'm not a fan of.
That's great.
Boo.
Mad Max.
Tom Hardy and Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I think that was it. Pretty sure. Mel Gibson was in three movies.
He went beyond the Thunderdome.
He did.
Actually.
He went and he's like, I can't go any further because I've gone beyond it. What about?
He did it to Tina Turner.
Brilliant. Obi-Wan. Kenobi, in case you need his
that
last
would be
name.
Sir Alec Guinness.
Perfect.
And not Sir Ewan McGregor.
Do you think he'll ever get a sir?
Props not.
A knight? Unless he does more stuff in England.
Sirs do not ride motorbikes.
Perfect. That was a fun quiz.
That was a fun quiz.
I told you it was an easy one. All right, now we need to get into the spoiler section. If you haven't watched this week's episode of The Walking Dead, you can pause
bye.
It. Yeah, or bye. Or if you don't watch The Walking Dead, listen to us because we'll say something funny at the end.
Promise.
Just get through it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
All right. Elevator shafts are apparently not as extensively deep as we suspected they would be.
So I've been waiting for Beto to show up properly. He's been sprinkled in a couple of the episodes. He's basically Jason Voorhees.
Mm.
Like he just won't stop. He just doesn't die.
He's the Terminator in Terminator 2 made out of mercury.
And doing Christian Bale Batman voice as a whisper.
Yes,
all the
he?
Time. All the time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to talk about the things that I liked.
Yes.
And the things that I still don't care about.
Okay.
Things that I like.
Yes.
The little, actually they showed it twice. A little shot of the tiger. Looked like a.
It's very nice.
Paper mache tiger. That
yes.
was fun. But then it made me angry. I was like, I still feel the tiger should be there. Wasn't enough of that tiger. Shiva?
It was Shiva, yes.
Yeah, for it to be fun. I liked the controlling the Horde and controlling the Whisperers by going up.
Choke point.
That was
very
cool.
Clever.
That was very cool. I really am enjoying. I'm enjoying watching that duo work. You know, with Daryl and I can't remember her name, but the deaf lady.
Yes,
I like those two because Daryl is not a talker, except he is now because there's no Rick. But he doesn't like talking.
I reckon he's had more lines in the last 4 episodes than the show up to this point.
He must finish. Shooting days, just absolutely exhausted now.
Yeah, because he's had it pretty easy for a while.
I had to remember things.
What'd you do today? I stand on my back.
Yeah, I really like that duo.
They're
I
good.
Think they should be in more stuff. I don't want her to die. They'll probably kill her, though.
I don't know. I could see that being a potential romantic pairing.
He's never had one.
He's never
apart
had
from
one.
Carol, which was. It looked like it was going to happen, and then.
Well, that's exactly why I think this is a potential, because she doesn't take his shit in the same way Carol didn't, you know?
Also, did you notice his dog?
Followed her.
Yeah.
That's a turncoat dog.
That's cool, right?
Dog.
I'm still worried about that dog, by the way.
Mm.
If a tiger can't last.
Dogs are much smaller.
Tigers are really good at jumping.
They are.
I need to let the tiger thing go, though. What I didn't like was I still don't care about Henry.
Yeah.
Any time that there's a problem with him, like he hurts his leg or I don't care.
It just bums me out because every time I look at that, it makes me remember that they got rid of Carl just because Rick was going to leave the show and they didn't want to still have his stories to deal with. And now they've just slapped onto this kid that no one likes. It's painful.
We're not invested in him.
No.
And it's true, every time I think about what the stakes would be like, I mentioned this last week, what the stakes would be like if that was Carl, and they're so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so much more invested. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. I sound like Daryl there.
You did. Do you know what was your take on the highwaymen, the new people?
I was like, ah! Oh,
yeah, Angus.
It's Angus!
That's a pretty bad accent.
Last time I saw him, he was in Fargo, and his accent was way better.
I loved that he was doing this drawl that was so broad. And I feel like the fact that the letter that was sent was grammatically correct, I think we're going to find out that that's him putting on a voice.
I hope so.
And that he turns out to be like some Australian science teacher or something like that.
Well, they've got an English person in there.
Yeah.
It's an English lady. Are they in the comic books?
Not that I can remember. Okay. I've racked my brain over it.
Because he's a big enough actor, I feel, for him to stay around a bit.
Oh, no. They're kindling.
Oh.
I'm telling you now that they are just...
They're just there.
Heads to be on a pike.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, his head would look good on a pike.
Maybe he might get to hang around and a few of his people, but I highly doubt it. I think they're just there to show, like, hey, look, friendly people do exist out there. Oh,
that's a shame.
Yep.
They're gone. All right. Well, how many more episodes have we got of this season? We're definitely ramping up to the fair. I mean, they've...
Maybe two or three.
Put the lights up and everything.
Yeah. The fact that this was a relatively light, breezy episode, as was last week's, this fair is going to be a bloodbath. They are lulling us.
I'm ready to say goodbye to everyone.
Everyone?
Except for Carol. I don't want Carol to go.
Or Jerry.
Yeah, well, I've said my goodbyes to Jerry.
Yeah.
I've said my goodbyes to Ezekiel. And whoever is involved in that love triangle, those are the people I'm saying goodbye to.
Sure. I don't want Eugene to go.
I don't want Eugene to go either. He's hardly been in it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go yet.
I hope not. Fingers crossed. And who... Enid may go, simply because she's partnered up with the ex-saviour.
Oh, I don't know. She's a doctor sort of person,
isn't she?
Yeah.
They need one.
Yeah.
Mm, all right. Well, we'll start our predictions culling later. And if you do have any predictions of who you think is going to go... When the Whisperers really go all out in their bloodbath, let us know. TheWatchersPodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can go to our Instagram page.
Yeah, come say hello.
I think we've said this before, but we do way more on there than anywhere else.
Mm.
We have a lot of fun there. That's The Watchers Podcast. Just type that into Instagram and you'll find us.
Hi.
Constantly being hilarious or just posting pictures of Luke Perry. What we had to do last week. It was important. We had to.
Mm.
On that note, Tom, thank you very much. I like a good awkward silence.